Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, as kids, they thought they had found the perfect hidden place to explore until one stretch of woods gave all of them the exact same feeling that they shouldn't be there.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is!
Our bubble.
And if you're watching, I'm pulling up a cat as I say that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. The cat just ran over to me and was like, just like, pick me up. So,
oh my God, Bubbles is so cute.
This is Bubbles the cat. This is the OG pet. This is the longest, the oldest pet we have. And he's sticking his head in my arm right now. Cute.
Bubbles looks like Rizzo. They look so much alike. My cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bubs is you're good. You want to stand here for a second? Yeah. Yeah.
He looks a little like Church, the cat from the original Pet Sematary.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because it was, that's a gray cat, right? Like a.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you say hi? Church. Church. Yep.
I'm Church. Or the vampires that go up to the window. It's like. Go down, Bubs. I know the cat right before the show. I walked out to the other room and he does talk to me all the time, but he was like, he had something to tell me. He was just like, jumping on that furniture, just following me through the room and saying things in Catanese.
God.
That's what they speak, and it's I'm waiting for an app, honest to God, like an app, and I'm really wondering, and I know this sounds kind of crazy, but I don't think it is, AI to decipher pet language, and not all pets, I think, speak in words and stuff. Cats have language, they do, they have words. They speak in them, and we have no idea what the fuck they're saying. And they don't speak to each other. They've done it. They've developed it for people. It's fucking weird. But I'd be very interested to see if we're ever able to, through AI, end up deciphering what the hell they're saying. And do we want to know what they're saying?
Yes. Yes. I would love to know.
Whether, like, if you don't feed them, they're like, I'm going to eat you in your sleep.
They're judging me. And I would, that would just be nice to have that confirmed. They have been judging me this whole time.
I'm kind of feeling bad for Harper right now. It might be time to put Tony in a home. The cats are talking to us.
You know? Oh, she's got a laundry list of shit, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Which to most people will be like, yeah, you really should probably put him away by now. Like, how old's your dad? 43.
It's time. It's time.
It's time. Yeah.
So I have a bone to pick with Tony. We talk about AI a lot. One of my favorite things that AI can do is it can take you back in time.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll come across a reel or something like that, and it'll be like, you wake up and it's 1995, and then it's a vision of kids riding their bike, and it's the mall and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I found one over the weekend that blew my mind, and I sent it to Tony, and he never responded.
When did you text it to me, or how did you send it?
I did. So I texted it to you, but I'm gonna try and play it now. I don't know how it's gonna turn out, but this is what it is. You've got to listen to this because this is freaking, you'll love this, Tony.
I don't have it.
All right. That's weird because it was in a text between me and another coworker and you.
Oh, is it in that thread? Maybe I missed it. Okay.
That's all right. So here it comes. This is pretty, I like this. So.
That's us.
Delilah. As soon as I heard that, I had to send it to you because I was like, oh my God, they have a Delilah jingle in the middle of this thing.
What's the year it's saying it is?
It says 94.
Okay.
What is it?
Yeah, I mean, that looks roughly 94 to 96-ish, or, you know, that feel. Yeah.
This is all AI-generated crap.
Isn't that interesting, though? I mean, it's so accurate to what it felt like.
Oh, my God, totally. But, yeah, I'm like...
I would have totally responded to that. You know I love that shit. I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't see that, because I would have been like, oh, that's...
Well, and Todd's so excited because he's like, Tony's going to love this.
I'm like, oh my God.
I don't have it. I'm on the thread right here. I do not have it.
Interesting. I know the other person received it, so I'm not sure what happened to you.
Okay, here we go. Todd, Facebook, it says tap to load preview. Maybe that's where I'm not seeing it. Okay, because it didn't pop up as a whole thing. I just saw it was, okay, I missed it. Okay.
It up.
I can show it to you.
Actually, what happened was he got the text and he's like, I'm not answering that bastard. I'm so tired of Todd. Like, he drives me freaking crazy. Yeah.
Can't get a break from him for one day. That's
right. It's my weekend. I don't want this asshole texting me.
I'm usually the one texting everybody else that's annoying people, you know? Or at least that's how I feel sometimes, where I'm like, maybe I.
Nope.
I miss that. I totally miss that. That's awesome. And I like that. I think that's neat that we can do that with AI. And
I do too. I mean, for me, it's like you forget. Our memories are pretty good. I know Tony, yours is too, and you can remember certain things. But when you see it that way, it's like, holy crap! I remember the feeling of being in a situation like that. You know,
it's the unspoken moments of life. It's just, this was the texture of life. This was the flavor. This was the feel. This is what it sounded like. This is what it smelled like. This is what it, you know, I mean, you can't really get those through the video, but it's what it sounded like. Just those visuals, those things in those places and those orders. I have a much deeper appreciation now, when I was a kid, I remember like in the 80s, like the Wonder Years was a big show. And my parents watching that, and they loved it because it was it looked back to like kind of their childhood and their youth of what it was like, you know, and because it recreated the atmosphere so accurately.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that today too. And on shows where it's like, oh, we're back in the 90s or the 80s or whatever. But what's really interesting about that is the perspective is when you're a kid and you're looking at something that is like from your parents' generation, which is, you know, roughly 10, 20 years removed. Depending on your, you know, the age of your parents and all that. When you get older, you realize just how not far away that was from your own youth, because it seems like, oh God, that was so long ago. And I look like, I'm thinking now, like we're in 2026 as we're recording this. So I'm thinking, okay, 20 years in the 80s, 20 years prior, 70s, 60s, you know, we're talking late 50s, early 60s. That seemed like, holy shit, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's the early 2000s.
Yep.
I mean, when we're looking at it in those blocks of time, and it's like, well, that was like fucking yesterday. And I mean, I obviously, you guys are a bit older than me, but like, I mean, do you feel that way too? Like, just the perspective of time has changed a bit where when you're younger, it just felt so much further away, and you just realized how close the past actually was to us, how not far back in our lives World War II actually was. You know, it's like, that just, we were so removed from it mentally, you know, and thank God, you know, it's like, that's what they fought for. So we didn't have to feel those ways. I mean, we're kind of back there now, 10 times worse, but, depending how you're looking at it, but there was a time where we didn't feel that. And it was a total different atmosphere to the world, depending on where you were brought up and when you were brought up. And that really shapes, I think, how far history feels to you and is how it takes aging to really to get a perspective for that. And just no matter how in touch you think you are as a youth, you're not. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, either you got the experience and the reps in life or you don't. And there's only one way to get it, and that's time.
Right.
The other thing that AI, I see a lot of people doing is they'll do, they'll show TV shows and they'll show the person when they were on the TV show.
Yeah.
And then they'll show them at their current age, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, like Who's the Boss? They'll have a young Judith Light and then the elder Judith Light will come in and sit down next to her and they'll wave and all that kind of stuff. That, and he's not even getting the reference, Carol, but
I'm getting it. And I have something to say after this. So go ahead, finish your thought.
But it blows my mind when you see something like, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond, which I don't think is an old, old show.
No, but it's like, what, 10, 15 years now?
Exactly. In 1980, the song 1999 from Prince came out. Now, that's an older song, but it's not really old in my mind.
No.
Count the decades since that song came out.
Yeah.
46 years.
Yeah.
46 years.
Yeah. So think about, you know, when that song came out, you're thinking like, okay, what's a song that's 46 years old now? You're talking like pre-Sinatra. You know, you're talking, it's like, oh God, that really wasn't that long ago. You know, it's like, yeah.
In 1980, a song from 1936.
Yeah. It blows your mind. It really shows in a way how, I don't want to say self-involved because that's not the right word, but just how our brains work, how absorbed is not it either. It's, I don't know what the right word is for
our perspective of what life is.
Yeah.
Is from just our view.
And it's really hard to see it from any other perspective. Yeah. Even when you try. Even when you honestly really want to do it and see it, there's only really one way to do it, and that's live it. Yeah. And that's, you know, like so many other cultures and times, it was always respect your elders, learn from your elders. They have a fucking things to tell you. And I think that's true in a lot of ways. But there's also, I think we've also gotten to a place, too, where there's a lot of elders that are still 1,000% out for them, and they're out the fucking door in 10 years, and they don't give a fuck what happens. So it's not the same sort of, you know, they're wise, they're looking forward to the future and thinking about our future or our children's future or anything like that. So that has changed too, where it can't just be a blanket. Let's just, you know, but if you're coming from a good place, yeah, I mean, that's the only way you can get it is living it. And it's interesting. Here's with AI. Another thing I was thinking of the other day is this damn show. Real ghost stories. Everything that I've ever said on this, you know, I'm sure is in an AI engine somewhere. And that's more than a decade of me. I mean, on any show that I do, this is the show that's more of a stream of consciousness than anything else I've ever done. Where if you look through everything that we've done, I've shared every goddamn story I can think of from probably my life and probably more than once. What's going to be interesting is the AI version of me is going to be so damn accurate to me because there is so much data of everything that I have expelled on this show. Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of me telling every damn story I can think of. It's going to be really interesting. I mean, I'll be alive to see it. I think, because we're probably talking like 2 or 3 years down the line where it will have been able to identify and literally take everything I've ever said and I can reference it and go, oh, I said that once. I didn't know. I don't remember that, but it does. And that conscious or not consciousness, but it's like the copy of me, if you will, to a certain extent, exists and can produce results and could be asked questions long after I'm gone. And it will answer them pretty much how we'd probably answer them today. Or you might be able to say, how would Tony answer this question at this age? How would Tony answer this question at that age? Depending on historically on the record where I've said what. And that's weird. That's interesting. I mean, think of that. I mean, think about like if you could go back and ask your grandparents questions about what they would that their take would be on something. And it could be very, you know, fairly accurately weighed, not just on the opinions of your parents or whoever knew them, but literally on what they've said. And you could get an accurate portrayal of what they would have, what their opinion would be. That's an interesting thing to do. I mean, we don't have that. We won't, and we won't ever have that. That's not available, but
right.
The future generations will.
Not to get off on a tangent, but you know, some of these great radio people over the years all had interviews and shows that they kept on audio tape. Right. Yeah. And Charlie Tuna, who was this great radio guy in Los Angeles and across the country, and he did a lot of voiceovers and stuff like that. His son is now opening up these huge boxes of reel to reels, and he's now sharing these interviews that Charlie had with Karen Carpenter and, you know, and so I'm thinking, I just want to let you know, Tony, your daughter should start making sure that this stuff is all preserved in a data center someplace. So when you're gone, she can be the host of all your old work.
Yeah. Well, it's out there. We have it, you know, and the YouTube channel was gone. We got rid of that, because YouTube sucks. I can go into that another time, but we have all the audio. I mean, that's, and we've been audio far more than anything else. And we have all of it. And it's all on, Libsyn, actually. Is our original hosting platform was Libsyn. And we still use it for stuff, for the bonus episodes. So we have everything from all the way back to whenever we started this damn thing. What was it? 12, 13, around 14, somewhere around
13, 14, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there. To have it archived. I mean, so it is archived in the cloud. And I guess it's like, is it out there? Is it permanent? Is it safe? You know, like, is it ever going to go away? I don't know.
It would suck if Libsyn had a burp or a fart one
everything's
weekend.
Gone. And everything's well, it's on gone. Audio Boom too. And it's also on, there's a lot of places it's backed up to. Or will anybody give a shit, quite honestly? I mean, is this just like, I mean, why am I expecting like my grandkids to give a rat's ass what the hell I'm talking about right now? I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't know. I guess it depends on the relationships that you've had with your grandparents. I had one that was really good. I'd be very interested to hear his thoughts. The rest were shit.
I hope they're still in a mindset at that point where they will appreciate it. I remember there's an old reel tape of my father and his hunting buddies. Mm-hmm. They had an old reel to reel machine. They got drunk one night out hunting and they recorded their conversation. And it was some of the funniest stuff I had ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
That's, you know, again, because of our age the way things work, that is gold. So I hope that your grandkids look at this stuff as gold too.
I remember when I was a kid, my mom had cassette tapes and she would put tape recorders out when she would have like dinner or whatever the hell it was with like her grandmother and other folks that were like, she had the foresight as a teenager to think, maybe I should document this.
Yeah.
And she recorded those conversations on cassette tapes. And I remember as a kid, her playing some of that stuff back. And I didn't give a shit back then because it was your self-centered little kid. But it's really interesting to have that. And before we pulled the YouTube channel, I did go through and I grabbed stuff that I thought we should keep, off of it. That was YouTube exclusive. But there's little nuggets like that. The Taste Spot, the food blog I did was part of that channel. So all that stuff was there.
Yeah.
But I did grab things that I thought I'd want to keep. It's interesting. I did before this podcast, the first podcast I tried was a food podcast. It was the Taste Spot. And I did a handful of episodes of that. And one episode, it was me and my dad talking about, I interviewed him about sturgeon spearing. And then I interviewed my mom about lefse. And I say, I have it. I still have it. I saved that little piece. But those little things, most people don't have you know, a parent that's, you know, basically documented every fucking week of their life for the last decades on recording. But I think more and more people do. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, the way that it's being put out there. I don't know, it's going to be really interesting to see, because, like, I think here this is a very good diary of life in our show. And I think that's going to be really authentic to recreate through AI. But I think it's going to be really interesting where somebody tries to recreate mom of today, 70 years from now. And it's just a bunch of, like, real puffy lip pictures. And everybody's like, wow, she's really into herself, you know? And it's like, grandma's tits are up to her knee, or like her, you know, up to her chin, and her lips are...
She got legs up to her ass.
Yeah, legs up to her ass. And it's just like, and she's making these crude, and she, like, what is this OnlyFans that grandma is talking about being on? Like, what the hell is she, like, talking about this WAP stuff? What's that all about?
Well, it's kind of crazy because my mother journaled and kept every letter that people wrote her. And yeah. then the people she wrote letters to, they kept them.
Yeah.
So there's a storage unit that I have, and it's got all of this stuff in it. My brother's like, throw it out. I'm like, don't you kind of want to read it down the road? Like, because yeah. there are boxes. There are hundreds and hundreds of letters.
That's personal gold for you. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to anybody else unless they wanted to. But
and the journals, I think, yeah. I remember finding her journals when I was a kid and reading them.
Yeah.
And getting really pissed off. Because she was saying some shit I didn't agree with. But yeah, it's like, but my brother's like, throw it away. And she has pictures. Like, she's kind of obsessive about photographs.
Mm-hmm.
She's got thousands of photographs. And my brother's like, yeah, who needs them? Like, Gary.
I don't know. I keep letters. I keep little like postcards and stuff, or like my family, my mom's side is very big on, I have aunts, all my aunts are still alive over there, but everybody's getting up there. But they still send me like birthday, you know, cards and letters. And it's the same as they did when I was five, you know, it's the same. Like, it's just not like a, you know, a Jolly Rancher or a $10, you know, billing or something. I swear to God, though, some of my aunts and uncles within the last 10 years, I think still sent like checks for $10 and things like
that. It's kind of adorable.
It was, I mean, and it's like, I'm like, and they're not dumb people or anything like that. Like, I think they almost found it adorable too, at the same point of like, just let's, it's fun. You know, it's like, it's been forever. But it, I save, I have those, but I don't have them like in a all one place. They're like, I place them in random places. Like, as the year goes on, oh, they're in a book. They're like, you go through my house, you'll find all these little random like notes and like cards and stuff from over the years from family members. And I like seeing them because I every once in a while, I still find them like for my grandparents. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's one in my nativity scene that I have that my grandfather gave me that, I look at every year, and it's like I can see him. I can hear him. I can see, you know, and it's that little piece of connection that is neat. And those are important things. And with everything as digital as it is, having that physical footprint, I think, is important.
Yeah.
That we've lectured you for the last 22 minutes about how to be a better person.
Bob's fault. He's the one who took you down memory lane.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have kept my mouth shut.
It was a good it was a good conversation, though. I thought it was interesting. I mean, and it all ties back to death, which is what our show is all about.
You're all gonna die.
Tony, do you ever think you talk about negative stuff too much? It's about death and ghosts and horrible people killing each other? Nah, we're good. It's what you do when you were raised on Rescue 911 and Unsolved Mysteries. This is what you get. Let's go to a ghost story, shall we? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, this is Pete. This happened a long time ago, way before the internet. My parents had bought a piece of property in upstate New York, and it bordered an old Boy Scout camp that had been abandoned back in the 70s. And this happened back in the 80s growing up. And it was really cool because, you know, camping-wise, you know, having a huge Boy Scout camp that nobody used with a huge lake all to myself, you know, was really great. You know, me and my friends got to go camping, and we had, you know, it all to ourselves with a big lake. You know, that was really great. You know, there, when we took this one path, to go to our favorite camping spot, about maybe 50, maybe 100 feet of this one particular trail, we got this real strange feeling that like we were being watched, or just like not in, like maybe an evil presence was there. Like maybe we should get out of there like really quick. And we never really, you know, talked about it much, you know, outside of, you know, at the camp, you know, we would joke about it, you know, trying to make light of it. So, you know, we wouldn't be so freaked out about it. And, we, after a while, we just avoided that trail entirely and made our own, but it was just in that area. And like I said, this is way before the internet. And yeah, I never told my parents, we never told our parents because, you know, the Boy Scout camp, you know, was off limits. And, you know, if we did, you know, oh, we'd definitely never be allowed to go camping on our own. So anyway, you know, years later, you know, the internet was invented. And so I started poking around and thinking, well, maybe it's a Boy Scout had died or something, or maybe something just bad happened to the Boy Scouts. So I started looking through and nothing had happened to the Boy Scouts. And that was a relief. But the more I poked and prodded through the internet, I discovered that that part of the area, the British troops had traveled. It was like a main route from New York City to Albany, New York. And it was during the French and Indian Wars, the Indians and the French had, I guess, gave the British a hard time. And I guess there was a massacre up there. And there were a lot of death and bloodshed in that exact area. And it got me thinking that maybe that was the ghost of maybe some of the dead. But I love your show, and let me know what y'all think. I'd love to hear this on your future podcast, and your opinion of, or ideas of what this was. So thanks a lot, and hope to hear from you. Bye.
So when you get a spot like that, that has like a ton of tragedy at it, and obviously emotions through the frickin' roof as people are being massacred, does that energy, that all that fear, all of that, everything that is that, does that create like a battery in that area for just whatever's going to pass through, whatever's around there? Not necessarily that like the ghosts of that massacre are like reliving the hell of that moment over and over, but does that make an impact on the atmosphere in some way, shape, or form?
I don't see how it doesn't. You know, when you have something tragic happen in a home, on the land, wherever it happens, how does that not? Like, how does a Civil War battlefield, a Revolutionary War battlefield, ever just go on when you know thousands of people died right there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how does that not imprint somehow? And I think that not everybody picks up on that. I think there are people who could go there, and maybe not every day. You know, maybe you go there one day and you really pick up on it, and another day you don't. Some people never would pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's fascinating. How would it not? What do you think, Todd?
I agree with you, Carol. And you mentioned, you know, maybe some people wouldn't see it. There are people in the everyday world, there could be a fire right in front of them, and they will walk past it because they don't see it. They don't know, you know, they don't experience what's really going on in front of them because they're so focused on something else. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in places like that, that energy is just stored, whether it's that actual energy or it's just energy in general that's stored. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like I wonder if sometimes that explains, like, when you're at locations, and not necessarily like when you're like, you know, investigate something, but you're just wherever, and it's like the energy is just off and you don't really know why, but you don't know the history of the place, and you're not like reading in a place to investigate it at that moment or even know or even get an answer. But there's just, sometimes you're just in off places and you're like, I don't know why I feel so off here right now. Like it could be a totally normal day, but just sometimes you're just there and it's like, I don't know what this is. This is odd.
His last summer when Harper was here and we went to a house in Norman, Oklahoma, and we did a Grave Talks episode from there.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up a lot on in that house. And we went upstairs and we went into a bedroom and I'm like, are you feeling this too, Harper? Because like something's weird here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I need to leave. And Harper's like, yeah. And then we found out it was the lady of the house. It was her bedroom. Because a lot of times back then, the man had his bedroom. They had their bedroom, which I get. I think space is important. But I'm like, well, of course we're not supposed to be in here. This is her bedroom. Yeah. We're total strangers. Mm-hmm. We should not be in this room. That's not a room of the house you would have gone into. So I think that made sense that we were both picking up on, like, we should.
Well, and I guess the question would be, is that the ghost of the person that consciously, like, I don't want you in here? Or is that just like kind of the protective energy that one has of their space that they've exuded on that place for their entire life or for a good chunk of time of this is mine. This is mine and only who I let into this space. Mm-hmm. And I'm very particular on that. It's not like anybody just wandering into my, like, as we're alive today, I don't think any of us are like great with just some random person walking into our bedroom or something. You know, I mean, although we're filming in yours, but, just the idea of a human being just kind of walking in there unless you've invited them in. I mean, it's a sacred place to a certain extent. It's a very personal place for someone. And I think we exude that as human beings. And then if you're dead, it's not that you're necessarily there to be like, I don't want you here, but is it, I guess, does that attitude that intention of this is my place, does that transcend death onto the actual atmosphere to which you were talking, to which you felt it about?
Mm-hmm. I think it could go a couple different ways there.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to change because we were just talking, we were having some fun with grandma and OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff. I wonder as time goes on, if people who are more open about their lives on social media than they've ever been open about their lives before, I wonder if that will change how people's energies remain once they die.
It's an interesting thought. Like, are we going to get the best version of them or are we going to get the true version of them?
Because we're going to get the Instagram version.
Because I mean, that's an interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what I was saying where it's like, When you do go back and look at people's history, so much of it so much of the documented history of everybody is going to be the greatest hits. It's not going to be the pain. It's not going to be the hell. It's not going to be the this or the that. That's what I think is interesting about when they do me someday. You got to fucking everything. Like, you can get everything from me. Like, I've documented it. Like, you know my pain points. Like, if you were to actually, and I'm excited to do this, of getting all of the audio from every show and putting my brain into it, of being able to actually access, where was I at this point in time? What was I thinking? What was I saying? Because what I've said on the air is how I feel. And I've been very accurate about it. I don't put on a fucking show for anybody. I don't put bullshit out there of, you know, duck lips or whatever the fuck people do. I mean, what you get is what you see. And I think anyone who's done that on social media, you'll get a very interesting, accurate portrayal of that person once they're gone. But that's 5% of people.
Right.
The other 95% is putting on, they're performing. You're going to get the performance version of them. Yeah, and then how is that performance version of them going to affect the future generations? Because everybody's comparing themselves to everybody of like, well, this performance version of my grandmother or mother or whatever the fuck they're looking at. Is this, I can't add up to that. Yeah, neither could they, because they truly weren't that.
Well, and I just had a thought, like poor psychics of the future. Because they'd be like, so this person's coming through, she's got really large lips and fake eyelashes and all this. But then, and you know, it's like you would almost be getting two different people.
I think you might get one thing. And I hope to God this over exaggeration of everyone's features, so they look like they're fucking some sort of horror movie. You know, it's like it's a cross between Saw and Burt Reynolds.
For so many people. Kenny Rogers. Yeah.
Today, Kenny Rogers. It's like, because I wonder, like, if the psychics are gonna be like, I see someone very disfigured, and they're like, and they're like, no one in my life has been disfigured, but it's like that's just how they're pulling it up because they look horribly disfigured. Like this looks like a horrible burn victim. No, they just really went to town on their fucking money and Botox and every sort of touch up they could do to their life, you know, and they end up looking like they're a horrible burn victim from an episode of Rescue 911 from 89.
Or maybe the rest of us who have not had work done are the ones that will eventually look like, oh my God, do you see this guy? He's got no lips. He's got, you know, look at that beard. I mean,
what? Yeah, just the opposite end of that. No, that's an interesting thought too. Oh.
It's going to be hard to be a psychic.
You're all fucked. No, it's interesting to think of. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. We'll wrap up this episode. Thank you guys. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening to the podcast, so you don't miss any of our episodes. Check us out on, what do we got? Apple Podcasts and Patreon, Real Ghost Stories Online. Search for us right there. And press subscribe. For Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.